glory, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And thank you that we know that where two or more are gathered, they are you. And thank you that we can know that you're here tonight. And thank you that we can honor you tonight. Thank you for the people that's here tonight and for everyone that's got a need or had a need to be here. And for the worship team, thank you so much. It's really, tonight I realized how hard you guys really work, long hours. And I honor the passion and your commitment in the name of Jesus. And may you receive many, many blessings in the name of Jesus. All right, and you may be released. I know some of you have had a long day already. Please drive safely. All right, guys, my name is Yaku, and for you that don't know me, my wife is Elzan, she's there at the back, and our daughter Talita, and our daughter expecting in 6 weeks, the 25th of June, and her name is Anna, which means God's grace and God's favor. Tonight I've asked the Lord, when they asked me to give this sermon, I said to the Lord, what should I speak about? Let him give me the words that will glorify his name and that I believe that the people would like to hear. And also that's important to give this message, that it reflects in the spiritual realm, because we know that there's a shift. Whatever we declare, there's a shift, and that's important. So I want you to join me tonight in our intercession session. Just as Lord said, just listen to me, and that's all we need to do. Just listen to him, and he will give us all the answers. He will give us direction, and he will give us wisdom. And that's just our calling tonight, is just listen. And Lord, I pray that you will send the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit, that you will fill the people's hearts, that you will fill our hearts and open up our ears, that we can listen what you want to say, and that you give us the wisdoms according to the book of James, and that we take those wisdoms and we make them our own, and that we live according to those wisdoms. And I praise your name for that, and thank you in the name of Jesus. There's a video that I want us to to look at, and the words, just make the words your own, take the words by heart, and then I'll speak after that. Thank you.
Because I've seen the faithfulness of God, the steel inside the storm, the promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first, beyond the barren place, beyond the ocean waves. When I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I go through the rivers, I will not be drowned. My God will make a way, so I am not afraid. You keep the promises you made. There isn't one that is delayed. So I will not lose heart.
Yes, Lord, thank you that we can declare that our God will make a way, and that we know that you're trustworthy, and that you're the Lord of Lords. In the name of Jesus, we declare that. And God, I come just as a normal guy, in obedience, and I just come to worship you. And I just come to deliver whatever you put on my heart to share tonight, as a normal guy, without any pretense. No matter how the slides look, no matter my English, Holy Spirit, will you come and will you anoint my lips, and will you speak in the name of Jesus. Amen. Since the intercession and also with the slides and with the previous songs, there's like this golden thread that really weaves through everything is God is God. He will not forsake us. And we just need to listen and hear what he says and act in obedience. And this is actually a word from James and Daniela. I think you quoted it in the intercession, and it was so amazing to say, this is what I was asking the whole week, what message do you, God, want to give the people? And it was James, and I thought, well, why James? And I had a choice between a few subjects, but James, the book of James, James 1, it just stick. And it was so amazing when you quoted it in the intercession. I knew it's the right message. And I want to thank you for your obedience in declaring that. The subject is prayer for wisdom and direction. And I know many of us, we quite often in our daily lives, we come to a journey where we say, well, what now? Where to now? Should I go left? Should I go right? Should I carry on? Should I go back? Should I retreat? And in our own strength and our own wisdom, we can't do that. We don't know what to do. And this is where we need to have faith and to trust in the Lord and trust in His word and follow His word. And this is the message in James. Now, if you look at the book of James, if you study a bit the book of James, and I think I just scratched the surface, the word James is actually a Hebrew name for Jacob. Hence, I believe, Jacobus in Afrikaans. And who was James? He was actually a half-brother of Jesus. But he was not one of Jesus' disciples, but he was an apostle. And he was head of the church in Jerusalem at one stage. And the church went through a very hard time where the Jews, the Messiah Jews, were murdered, and they felt almost like a flock without, you know, without any direction, and it was a difficult time even for James as well. Eventually, he got murdered for his beliefs, but he was known as a peacemaker. And the book of James is basically like a summary of all his wisdoms. And being Jesus' half-brother, it's almost like he got real special wisdoms. And that's what I want to share just a few with you. And what he did is he challenged the Christians by that in those days of, how do you live? Is what you say, is that how you live? And his message to them is, what you say, is that what you do, is that what you live? And that brings me back to a small little word called values. Now, values is what you live. How do you live? In your home, or in your school, or wherever you are in your environment, is the way that you do things, that's your value. So value is what you live. And what he said to the Christians by that time is, what are your values? Do you say one thing, but you live something else? And that is what he challenged them with. And the book of James is basically influenced by two other books. The one is or not other books. The one is Jesus' teachings on the mountain, and the other one is Proverbs. So there's no doubt in my mind that he loved Jesus very much. And the scripture that I want to share with you is from James 1, verse 2 to 8, and James 4, verse 13 to 15. It might be a bit small, but yeah, see what I'll read it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its works, so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unable in all he's doing. And James 4, verse 13 to 15 is basically just a message to say, don't boast about tomorrow. Now listen, you say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why do you not even know why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanish. Instead, you ought to say, if it's in the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And these two scriptures are very powerful, and especially the last one, because I think we often get in this spiral of, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to do this, we need to be there. We see it now in our own lives. It's something that we struggle on a personal note. And it's just that everything is getting so much. You know, you need to attend this, you need to attend that. Your work is a load. Your personal life is a load. Your relationship with people is just another. It's just another load. And where do you stop? You know, and what do you do? And in James basically what the Lord says is, cast all those burdens onto me. Just tell me. And how do you tell the Lord? So if we put it in context, I think you can just say that. You don't have to go to slide 3. It's fine. Just keep there. If we look at a few wisdoms in this verse that James is sharing with us, the first one is, to whom should we pray? And if we think about it as in verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. As simple as that. Ask God. And that's it. So first we have to seek the kingdom of the Lord in every situation, and consider him bigger than your current situation, bigger than your problem. Then your problems, you will see your problems in another perspective. Then your problems will look smaller than what you really think they are. And the question is, when we ask God, what is our true intentions when we are asking? Do we just ask? Or do we really ask from the bottom of our heart? Because God knows our heart. He knows our inner heart. He knows if you're really asking and what your intentions are when you're asking. So you can't fool him. So what is the context in which we should pray? And in verse 2, he says, consider it pure joy, my brother and my sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. And to me, this is the part that is the hardest to me. Is so when you pray, and when you're in trials and tribulation, and when you're really in difficult times, you should consider it, and you should ask God with joy in your heart for the situation that you are in. And if you change your perspective of it's all difficult and it's all hard, and you change your perspective to God, and you really push through and ask it out of joy, because you know that perseverance is the reward, then your whole situation becomes different. And it's a question of Romans, I think it's Romans 12, of renewal of the mind. And this struck me in this whole passage about, I'm in this difficult situation. It's like this whole paradox between joy and heart and sadness. But I should choose joy. And it's just again to emphasize that we should focus on the reward, that there's perseverance. There's a reward at the end. And I think for many, and I've seen it in my life and our lives, If we focus on what's the outcome of it, because we trust God with all our heart to say, well, he will never forsake us, it becomes easier to handle the problem. And what is the pure motive when we pray? The motive is to acknowledge the lack of wisdom. That's really what it is, because we don't know. We don't know. And we need to ask God for wisdom. And we need to trust him that he will give it. As he says, he will give it to us without without finding fault. And he will never forsake us and leave us as long as we keep our eyes on him and follow his word. Now the question might be, what should we do, you know, to get wisdom? And in verse 5 is just ask God, make time for him and read his words, spend time with him and listen what he says to you. Sometimes you need to, it's something that you think that the Holy Spirit put in your mind. Write it down, and maybe tomorrow you go back and you ask God, is this really what you said? So write it down and let him be part of your everyday life. And don't boast about tomorrow. And this is what he says in verse 5. And And it really boils down again to faith. And we've sing the song of deeper, you know, we will walk deeper, and it's just so amazing that He will take us every time. He will take us deeper, but He will never forsake us. And the Lord once told me that if I can trust you with the small things, I will trust you with the bigger things. And that to me was so amazing to say, well, if I'm obedient, although I'm scared to do the small things, He will trust me with the bigger things. And He will give me the strength and the courage to take on the bigger things, no matter what they are. I can tell you a few bigger things that I had to attempt in my life. And every time, the Lord just takes you a bit higher, 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 deeper, deeper, deeper. And He tests your obedience. And it's amazing, the reward. And I want you to encourage you, even if it feels like it's just a small thing, just do it and trust God. And you will see how He takes you higher, how He takes you deeper, and He will never forsake you. And what measure does God give? And He says that He gives generously. We are His creation and His beloved. And He only wants the best for us. And it's so important that we know our portrait in Jesus. That we know our portrait in Christ. Who you are. You are beloved. He knew you even before you were born. He knew you in your mother's womb. There will no hair will fall from your head before He even knows it. And I can go on and on and on and on. And we are His creation. And you are special. And we need to believe that. And we need to make that part of our everyday life. That I am special for the Lord. And we need to renew our mind in that. But, there's a big but. There is a condition. And the condition is in verse 6. When you ask, you must believe, have faith, and don't doubt. And this is the hardest part. To me, it was hard as well. To trust the Lord in every situation. Sometimes I think, yeah, I know it. I know how to do it. I'll deal with this now because it needs to be dealt with now. But then I'm setting myself up for failure. So many times. And it's every time just to go back on your knees and repent for that. And learn to trust God with faith. We look at all the people that were healed in the New Testament. What did He say to them? He said to them, your faith has healed you. And if we don't ask, if we don't pray with the same faith than those, we can't expect Him to help us. Because we need to get at a place where we're so desperate and that we pray out of true faith. Out of the deepest of our hearts. And that is a few wisdoms in James's book, just a few simple verses that the Lord laid on my heart to share with you. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will really make the seeds that's planted, will let them prosper and will let them grow. So I've put up just a 9-point battle plan. And I thought it's like the Lord gave me this battle plan to share with you to say, well, how do we battle in our daily lives? And and point number one is to present your current life challenges to God. And I think the most important is resign as the controller of your life and have faith in the Word of God. Fill your mind with the Word of God and follow His direction. Without that, we are definitely getting in the wrong direction. And admit your inadequacies. I can't do it on my own. I need your wisdom. It's basically laying down your life, your pride, the eie ek. Just lay it down and say, Lord, I can't. I am trusting you. I need you. And then declare that he is God, that he is the Almighty, and rely on his resources and relax in faith. Just to get a breather, relax in faith. And it's so amazing, the words relax in faith. And it just made me realize that I can sit back a bit and relax in faith, just to get a new perspective on this problem that I have and know that God is in control. And pray in faith. Declare that he is bigger than our problems and remind him of his faithfulness in the past in your life. If there's something that you've written down that he helped you with previous engagements, or just go back to the Word. There are so many testimonies in the Word where he helped people. And just remind him. Just remind him and say, God, you were faithful here and here, and I ask you that you're faithful again. And petition for God's wisdom. Ask his will in your situation and ask him to speak to you and write down what you think or hear. Petition to him. And present your plans to God and make him part of your everyday life. Just commit your everyday to him. Start your day with him. End your day with him. You know, that's how we were taught. But I would say that the last few months, we just realized in our lives, in our houses, you need to make God present in every situation in your life. When you're driving, when you work, when you jog, whatever you do, share it with him. And it's like this new world of intimacy that opens up. And, sometimes we say, well, you know, I wonder if God was in this situation. But if we really think about it, he's always there. He knows what you're doing. He knows even where you're going, not before you know. He knows your future. But we need to share our lives with him. And he's always there for us. And expect God to turn your battles into blessings. In what happened in the Old Testament, there was some of the battles that the Israelites fought, and God helped them, and they overturned the enemy, and they got all the cattle, they got all the riches, they got the cities, and that was the blessings that God gave them. And that's his way of reward. So expect your battles to turn into blessings, because that's his heart for us. And then we need to thank him. You know, we can't just expect. And we need to thank him and praise him for what he's done in our past and what he will do even in future. And that's important as well, to declare and say, well, Lord, we trust you for what you will do in future, and thank you for what you will do in future for us. Because he is the God of the future. And then share your battles and your victories and your testimonies. Share it with friends. Share it with your small group. Share it in a sermon, that we can create that culture of praying for each other, that we can create that culture of sharing our testimony, sharing what God has done for us. And it's an important part of who we are. That's how we should do it. And that we create this culture of caring in this congregation and amongst each other. And we should live it. And it's not something that I'm saying, or that it's a wish or something. It's in his word. that we should share our testimonies with each other. And we should trust the Holy Spirit to work with those testimonies and deposit those testimonies in other people's hearts. And it's part of what you got, you can share. What your heart is full of, you can share. And it's amazing how your life will turn around if you start sharing and not just receiving. And I really encourage you to start sharing. And just be obedient and listen. Listen if God puts on your heart to share. Listen and be obedient. Even if you're scared. Even if it feels like your heart is pumping in your throat. Just trust Him. Have faith. And then I just want to close with a few, just two petitions. You know, something that you can take, home. And two simple slides. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, according to the New International Version. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. And just petition that, declare that in your life, every day. And Proverbs 16, verse 3, the New International Version, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. And petition this, rehearse this, make this part of your everyday life. It's just an example of two simple verses, but so powerful. And I think this is also where we are in Shofar and Pallet, where we really need to make the Lord part of our everyday life and petition these words. And I trust in the Lord with faith that He will make our path straight. And that's really my heart for you tonight and for the congregation, that we should trust in Him. We should listen and just be obedient and do what He says. If He can trust us with the small things, He will trust us with the bigger things. And it's amazing, the bigger things. I really encourage you to do that in obedience. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank You for Your word, and I just want to thank You for using me as an instrument to deliver this word, and I ask that, that You really make this word come alive in the lives of people and in the lives of this congregation, and that we can petition Your word, and that we can trust in Your word, and that we can trust in You as our Lord. Holy Spirit, will you come and comfort these words in the hearts, in our hearts? And will You come and will You make this visible in the culture, in the way that we live, in the way that we do things, in our families, in our church, in our friendships, and that we can teach our children these values and these wisdoms, and that we can leave legacies in the hearts of our children for them to share with their children, and that we can build up a nation that share these wisdoms and make these wisdoms cornerstones of who they are. And I declare this in the name of Jesus.